hello to our friends at Chatterbox. Spring has finally sprung at High Ash Farm, and Chris Skinner has been busily maintaining hedgerows and managing the woodland on the farm in the last few weeks. Today, we'll be delving back into episodes from Chris Skinner's Countryside podcast from February and bringing you some of the highlights from the farm with his broadcast companion and friend, Matthew Gudgeon. We join the boys streamside.
Stream's running well there?
Yes, it's pouring down through the farm. This is one of the feeder streams, Matthew, to the River Tass, and it's racing away through the farm under some of the bridges there.
Lovely. If I got closer to it, we could probably hear it coming through here.
Yes, you can. Just over here, look, there's a lovely little waterfall there.
This is the first rain for a few weeks, isn't it? But actually, a lot of the damage of the drought has been undone.
Yes, and so the rain here is really very welcome this morning. And it should be wet more or less all day today. It's getting well into February already. But that's a lovely sound. It's very peaceful. But sometimes when we have heavy rain, this turns into a raging torrent. And there's a lovely gravel bottom, and it's full of freshwater shrimp. Water voles on each side of the bank as well. Lots of little holes. There's holes over there, just on the other side. So lots of small mammals here as well. But I said we're going to be looking at flowers, and some of our trees actually come into flower at this time of the year. If we walk back a little bit, this is hazel, and it's in flower. It's quite surprising.
Oh, yes, so we've got some buds here. Yes.
You get these catkins here, and amazing. I don't know if we can do it this morning because it's been some rain. If I just flick them with my finger, little puffs of pollen will fly off, and you'll get male and female parts coming into flower at the same time. So what we've discovered is trees with catkins on, things like sweet chestnut, alder, birch as well, hornbeam's another one, they all have catkins on, and they've developed much later than our flowering trees, so trees that have flowers in. So the catkin bearing trees are much later, they've stopped flowering, if you like, and they're using wind pollination to do the work for them. But sometimes some of the trees that have catkins are pollinated by insects, and sweet chestnut, I mentioned, is one of those. But the catkins come into flower now at this time of the year because the trees, hazel that we're standing in front of, hasn't come into leaf yet. So the pollen can get spread freely on windy days. Whichever way the wind's blowing, that's the way the pollen goes. And the clever bit is the female part of the catkin, I'll just see if I can find one. There we are. Just as a little bud just at the end with a bright red tip on it, all feathery. And that is the female part that will catch the pollen from the male catkins and actually fertilise. And here's another one right just there in front of you. Can you see?
Yes.
Little bright blood red.
So those are the female parts, and the male parts are the catkins.
That's it. And they produce absolutely masses and masses of pollen, which they have to, because it's quite a not a very precise process to get pollinated. And those, you can see there's two together there, the female parts, and that will produce a pair of hazelnuts later on.
We've still got rain, but not quite as bad as some parts of the country, so I suppose we are blessed to some degree. Now, we talked about the colours coming through and being a very welcome addition this time of the year with the flowers, but I suppose white, bright white is a colour?
Yes, of course, Matthew, and just over on our far right, we've come to a different area of the farm. This is quite a steep south-facing slope, and it's on sandy gravel. And the thing about sands in the countryside, the soil type, is it cools down very quickly in the winter. But once you get the sun, And we're getting about 23, 24 minutes a week, extra daylight now, from Sunday to Sunday. So
I don't believe it in this
no,
weather.
No, it is. I know it looks grey and a bit miserable this morning, but that's good. It's what the season should be. And then when spring does come along, you appreciate it that much more. But over in the distance there are quite a large clump of many thousands of snowdrops.
Yes,
look just underneath there.
Isn't
it's
that wonderful?
Beautiful sight, absolutely beautiful. Get them all over Norfolk and into Suffolk. One of my favourite places to see them is in the old ruined abbey walls at Walsingham there. And in the cross at Dunwich in Suffolk as well, there's an old monastery there, and they grow in the ruins there, and there are thousands of them, so they do grow frequently. There's a lot of argument as to whether they're actually natural to the UK countryside or whether they were imported and came in from France. So a lot of controversy still goes on, and of course it's very difficult when you go back into the 15 and 1600s to see what actually happened.
They don't get much more than 6 inches off the ground, and they're very demure, aren't they?
No, they are. The way the heads hang down, many of the Galanthus species are the same, all part of the snowdrop family. And of course they're really early. Some people call them snow piercers, but I think it was Thomas Tuckwell. He was an 18th century poet. He actually called them something which still makes me smile. He called it vegetable snow. And I love it. What a beautiful phrase to use, because
they are snowy white.
Yes,
they
absolutely are, and they're growing, of course, so they're vegetable snow, and I think that's great. Snowpiercer, again, as I mentioned, is another name for them. And we've got some fantastic displays in the woodland on the other side of the farm. And I used to go and just walk down, and it kind of gladdens the spirits when you see them. And went one morning, and it's strange, there'd been some lorry tracks that had driven into the woodland in one of the old shooting rides and then stopped quite close to the centre of the woodland. And there must have been quite a lot of people involved with crates, and what they did is in one night they dug up over 1,000 clumps of snowdrops, put them in the crates, and then presumably potted them up, which you can do with snowdrops, and moved them whilst they're in flower, and we think they went down to London and were sold, and that's quite a lucrative night's work. And
completely illegal.
Yes, of course, there was no permission, and they must have worked hard. How they did it in the dark, I don't know, but it was at this time of the year, and nobody was ever caught and traced as a result of it. Just some evidence that they went down to London, down the A11. The lorry was seen.
So now you've put man traps around them.
No, but we do have cameras there the whole time now, just more so for the badgers and the deer, which you can enjoy on High Ash Farm Facebook. But I said I'd bring you some colour, although white is a colour, so snowdrops do qualify.
And they look really good there.
They're absolutely beautiful, aren't they? So if we just walk in a little bit on the edge of the wood, a south-facing little bank here in front of us, and you can see some bright, go down on my hands and knees, some bright pink flowers. So to find colour in the winter, you've got to sort of look carefully. And this one is absolutely gorgeous. It's bright pink. It's in full flower. Some of the flowers have already dropped on the ground. And it's called red dead nettle. And if it's got dead in the name, although it's a member of the nettle family, it doesn't sting. Unlike small nettles, there's Urtica urens, a species of dwarf nettle that grows here. And my sisters tell me small nettles don't sting. They made me get hold of them, and I found out the hard way. They do sting, but red and white dead nettle, they're absent of stings. So
there's some more here.
Yes, look at that. Absolutely beautiful. Once you see them, it's absolutely delightful. So everything's growing away, and of course it's a good time to flower because there's very little competition. Once you go into sort of April, May, and particularly June, everything's wanting to be pollinated, so there's a lot of competition. So if you do get mild winter stay, and of course we're having more and more of those at the moment, although it's colder today, it's a good chance they get pollinated and set seed early, and that then completes their life cycle. So really lovely to see. Anyway,
so they're red dead nettle.
It's a good nettle. Good one to watch out for. And these clumps over here in front of us, they're a similar relation. They're not in flower yet, but within a week they will be. They're white dead nettle. And used to pull the little flowers off, and they had a little nectary at the bottom of them, and you could actually suck the nectar out.
I'm sinking here. There's some rabbit holes.
Yes, rabbit holes, yes. Yes, look at that. That one's quite deep. We're actually on the edge of a warren here.